Let's go to Psalm 112 for just a moment. We'll try to save some time and room to pray together here at the end of the service tonight. Just feel like we need to jump into the scriptures and give you a few more truths and close out Psalm 112. I love the book of Psalms, if y'all can't tell. And Brother Riley said of our series in Mark that since we started that, he's got married and had a baby and a second one on the way. And that's a long time, ain't it, Charlie? Since we started our Psalm series, I had more hair and less ulcers. And there's been a lot of people come and go since we started this. But y'all have hung in there. Some of y'all have jumped in maybe in the middle of it. But we'll get done one of these days. If Jesus don't come back in the next 20 years, I'm pretty sure I can get it done in 20 years. All right? It's been a good study, though. I appreciate the psalm. Brother Sammy Allen said, stay in the psalms. And as a child of God, you'll keep your song. You'll keep your song. Don't get out of the psalms. That's where you keep your song. And I believe that's important. And one of the reasons the Lord laid on our heart to preach through the psalms as he directs us. And that's to try to keep the song in the church. And we need that. I think when I get done with Psalm 150, I'm going to back up and start all over again. I believe that's what we're going to do. Let's read this evening. I was almost going to have you stand. That'd be too much like calisthenics. Amen. Psalm 112. Let's read the psalm in its entirety. We'll rehearse a little bit, and then we'll finish this thing up. The Bible said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth, who will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. It will deal with this verse tonight, hopefully very specifically. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. I don't know if you've noticed through the few weeks we've been dealing with this psalm as we've read it, how many places is emphasized righteousness. This man is a righteous man. His righteousness is going to endure forever. And you want to be blessed, and that's what we're preaching on. Be a righteous man and you'll be blessed. Amen. There's a lot of folk want blessings and want to live unrighteous. And you don't get both. You don't get to pick both. Amen. If you want the blessings of God, you have to be a righteous man. Amen. The Bible said, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked will deal with this closing out tonight, shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you again on this midweek prayer meeting night service. Lord, we've come in tonight. A lot of things, Lord, have taken place this week that have been a challenge and maybe a wearisomeness, Lord, our body and our mind. But Lord, we've made it here by the grace of God. And you've been good to us all along the way this week, no matter what we faced and no matter what we've gone through, no matter, Lord, the rough patches, you have been faithful. And I want to bless you for that tonight. Now, as we gather around the Word of God and this psalm, as you've laid thoughts upon our heart for this very service, I ask you this evening, Lord, that you'd bring the Word of God and, Lord, bring it to the forefront tonight of this service, and may it be a fire set before us and in our heart and in our bosom tonight.
Pray, Lord, it'd be a challenge and a comfort, a source of encouragement and exhortation. Lord, may it give us reproof and rebuke. And Lord, cheer us on tonight as we try to learn something about living on our lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Lord, all that you do for us tonight through the Word of God, we'll thank you for that ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This psalm, again, just quickly rehearsing a few things, begins as yet another in a line of psalms here in this section that call upon us to praise the Lord. It begins as Psalm 111 did, and as Psalm 113 will, beginning with that Hebrew word represented in the phrase, praise ye the Lord, simply put, hallelujah. It's a call for God's children to set their mind upon spiritual things and to bless and praise the Lord and lift hallelujahs to his name for the things that he has done in our life. While this psalm will speak of the life and the character of what we'll see tonight, again, the blessed man and the good man, it is God who is to be praised for those blessings and his goodness that has worked into our life. We're praising the Lord, and yet the psalm is about our lives, and it's about the way that we're to live. And we're not praising ourselves, we're not patting ourselves on the back for being good and righteous and gracious and full of compassion and all these elements that are wrapped up in being a blessed man. We're not praising ourselves, but we're praising the Lord because it is his work in our lives that is bringing all of that out. And don't ever think that you have pulled yourself up by your spiritual bootstraps. And don't ever think you are making yourself what you are. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so the praising of the Lord in this psalm is that we're praising him for the work that he has done. As we've read this psalm, Psalm 112, we have said and made an emphatic statement that ultimately only Jesus can live up to what this psalm proclaims. I'm talking about a righteousness that is enduring forever, and a man that is in constant fear of the Lord, and a man that delighting greatly always, that is, in the commandments of God. A seed that is mighty in the earth, and again, righteousness enduring forever. And these things that are stated in this psalm, I have no problem stating that ultimately they have their fulfillment in our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. But from a practical application of this psalm, again, we can praise the Lord for it is he that is conforming us into the image of Christ. I don't always live up to these verses. They're the goal, they're the mark, they're what I'm aiming for. My Heavenly Father, he is molding and conforming my life into the image of Christ. Therefore, Psalm 112, I believe, is a good gauge, these 10 verses, for maybe evaluating the work we're allowing the Lord to do in our life in making us into this blessed man and good man after the image of Christ. And so that is tonight what being blessed is all about. It's me being conformed to the image of Christ. So the psalm begins, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. Simply put, how happy is the man, referring to a person's state of bliss. Bliss being an old English word, referring to the highest degree of an individual's happiness. You couldn't possibly be more happy than that of experiencing bliss. Blessed is the man. How happy is the man? What way would you measure your bliss and your joy and your happiness tonight? The Lord wants us to be full of joy, abundant in joy. I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus said, and to give us joy that the world knows nothing about. And this word, blessed, this phrase, blessed is the man, signifies the reality in an individual's life of heavenly joys. The reality of heavenly joys in our life. And so this joy, this state of bliss and blessing is not rooted in anything that is of an earthly realm or a carnal realm or the temporal realm. This heavenly joy, this bliss, this state of being blessed, it is absolutely the reality of heavenly joys in our life, derived and springing from and sourced out of something that goes beyond what the eye can see and the hand can touch. It is those blessings that Paul would describe that, and if you're saved, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where our joy is to come from. That doesn't mean we don't know joy or some degree of happiness in this earthly realm. Family and friends and a good meal and a good activity that is not filled with iniquity. We know some joys in this realm, but nothing compares to the heavenly joy that the Lord has brought us into a relationship with. And so to derive our thought that we've been preaching, this phrase, blessed is the man. The word blessed is a word that is a poetic exclamation so as to say, oh, the bliss of dot, 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 followed by the source of joy being recognized. And so if I was to say, I know the bliss of being married, I would be referencing the joy that I know in holy matrimony, and that is joy, and there is bliss in that. Hey, amen. When you're not wanting to choke each other, there's joy in it. Somebody give me a witness. Oh, the bliss of being married. Oh, the bliss of being a parent. Or oh, the bliss of whatever you want to put after that statement is signifying that this matter, this item, this relationship, this activity is a source of joy in my life. Here in Psalm 112, the source is those spiritual blessings the psalmist has in mind as God is working in his life to make him this blessed man who knows heavenly bliss. I'm glad tonight if you're saved, you can know heavenly bliss. You don't have to drudge your way and frown your way and grind your way through life. You don't have to go through life with your shoulders slumped over and your head slung down. You don't have to live your life, my friend, poor mouthing about how bad things are. And I understand tonight the burdens are real and the troubles are real and the battles are real. But may I say tonight, so are the blessings. And the blessings are greater than the burdens. Amen. I used to say some years ago, I'm too blessed to be depressed. And then I went through some bouts of depression and realized that's a lot easier to say than it is to live. But can I remind you tonight, the blessings of God are a reality. Amen. The blessings, the blessed man here, he's not happy and blissful because everything is well. In this psalm again, we'll note it again tonight as we read it in its entirety, that this blessed man, this good man or woman, they experience darkness in verse 4. They experience times where they are called upon to make difficult decisions in verse 5. They experience and have brought to them evil tidings and bad news in verse 7. And verse number 8, we'll see tonight that this blessed man still has some battles because there are enemies that have set themselves against him. And so he has darkness, bad news, battles, and hard decisions to make. I'm telling you, in all of that, David said that man is still blessed. That man still has a source of being blessed. He can have bliss no matter what darkness is in his life because because his blessings are somewhere out of this world. And so we're preaching on the thought, oh, the bliss of being blessed by God. Oh, the bliss of being blessed by God. And we looked at this bliss of the blessed man, and we've seen the bliss. We've seen the love of the blessed by God, verse number one. We've seen the legacy of the blessed by God in verse number two. We've seen the loot or the treasure or the riches of the blessed man in verse number three. He may or may not have earthly possessions, but no matter what he has or doesn't have monetarily, what he treasures more than anything is righteousness. Amen. You see that in verse number three. And then we've seen the light of the blessed by God in verse number four. And though they go through darkness, that he can be happy. And in the darkness, God will send light. Amen. And so we have light tonight. I'd love to re-preach that again. Amen. Like Israel had light in Goshen in the land of Egypt, when nobody else did, like they had light to lead them in the night seasons through the wilderness. God's people have always had light in darkness. Amen. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you won't have to deal with being sad and depressed by the darkness of iniquity in this hour. I'm glad we have light, and I find my joy tonight in the light of being blessed by God. And then last week we looked at two more points, the liberality of the blessed by God. That their joy is found in being liberal in graciousness, verse 4. Being liberal in gentleness, verse number 4. Being liberal in godliness, giving it all to live a godly life in verse number 4. And that they're liberal in their giving, verses 5 and 9. It is more blessed, the Bible said, to give than to receive. And we'll not re-preach any of that again tonight. We ended last week on this bliss and the blessed by God. We've seen the loyalty of the blessed by God. That this man is so dedicated to the Lord. And David said in verse number six, surely he, the blessed man, the blessed woman, shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. And so there's the matter of loyalty. He will not waver. He will not slip. He will not fall. And if he should fall seven times, as a just man may be prone to do, yet he will arise again. Had to live for God and be faithful and committed and loyal to the one who saved him. And tonight I want to say there is bliss in just being faithful to God, being my friend loyal to righteousness and living a holy life. There is joy in that. I know it gets hard sometimes. There are times that we're maybe like Asaph and we look around and we think, man, it looks like the wicked are getting by. And we'll say something about that in a minute. But Jake, sometimes we begin to envy the unrighteous. But may I say in those times, stay committed to the Lord and stay loyal and do not allow yourself to be moved at and just be loyal. And it's amazing. My joy has never wavered, has never been knocked down and knocked down by staying committed to the Lord. There are some that act like it's a grievous thing to live a life for God. And I say tonight, I've never known it to be grievous to just stay loyal to the Lord. Amen. I've watched some walk away and act like they found some newfound freedom and act like it was so good. And I want to look at them and say, if it's so good, why don't you shout like you used to shout? Why don't you smile like you used to smile? And the fact of the matter is, I don't care what they try to portray, real bliss and joy will be found in just staying loyal to what God has put into your heart. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Let me give you a few things tonight. I ain't got long. I'm fighting these allergies. Amen. My voice, I can feel it already. Notice with me in verse 7 and 8. I see here the bliss and the blessed by God. I see a matter in verse 7 and 8 about the leaning of the blessed man. The leaning of those that are blessed by God. I love verse 7 and 8. Brother Riley, he said again, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. And so this man has got some bad news. There's bad news that has come his way. In verse number 8, he talks about seeing his desire upon his enemies. And if you got enemies, that means you have battles. And so here's a man that has bad news and has battles. What is he going to do? Somebody said, well, surely that'll put a frown on his face. And surely that'll burden him down and depress him. And yet those that are blessed by God and truly saved and conformed to the image of Christ, notice what the psalmist says he does in this time of battles and bad news. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, literally meaning that he is going to hide in the Lord for refuge. He ain't going to try, my friend, to figure out the bad news on his own. He ain't going to try to fight the battle in his own power and in his own might. This man understands, this man has been through enough to know that the Lord will be enough for him. He's gone through enough times of battles. He's faced enough bad news. He's tried to handle a lot of things on his own and made a mess out of it too many times already. And now finally, he's learning the bliss of just learning to lean upon the Lord. No matter what comes your way, no matter what the bad news is, it strikes fear in your heart. No matter what the enemy whispers while you're in the heat of the battle, he said here, this man is going to find joy because he's learned how to trust in the Lord. I want to say tonight, amen, we can have a joy that remains. We can have a bliss in his experience. I don't care what the doctor told you this week. I don't care what your family told you this week. I don't care what bad news has been brought to you this week. God help us to live our lives in the same bliss that Job had, even when tears were coming up out of his heart and rolling down his cheek after he lost all that he had. And there upon the top of freshly covered graves of his children, it was Job that said, I came in this world naked, and I'm going to return to the dust thither the same. He said, the Lord had given and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what was he doing? Job was learning how, and even in the midst of great sorrow, to stay tapped in under the joy and the bliss and those blessings that are out of this world. Amen. I'm in this hour, I don't want to be mean, because I am of this generation. I'd be smacking myself in this generation. We stub our toe or let somebody look at us wrong, or somebody said something that upset us and we act like we're being persecuted and our world's falling apart and everything's bad and we're going to die. Amen. Job lost everything in a day, and it wasn't many days longer that Job even lost his health, and yet he maintained and retained his integrity and his bliss and his joy. I understand there was hardship. I understand there was bad news. I understand he had battles even with his friends. Job, through all of that, Brother Bob, he maintained his relationship with God. When he come out the other side of the trial, there was a bliss still on the inside of his heart. Amen. I meet preachers and Christians all the time. They are still stuck in the drudge and the burden and the grief of things that happened years ago. Beyond that, they have lost their joy. It's wrote on their countenance. It's wrote in the spirit by which they communicate it. It seeps out in every relationship they try to have in the earthly realm. And can I say the antidote to that, the solution to that, The way that you've got to deal with that as a child of God is to learn how to give that stuff to the Lord and trust the Lord with that and lean upon the Lord. The psalmist said, and this man is blessed and he knows the bliss of having a relationship with the Lord in the midst of these kind of times because he's trusting in the Lord. You're going to do this, it'll have to be a heart work that is done. Everybody with me? Y'all look more tired than I feel tonight. Amen. Notice what he said. He said his heart is fixed. I love this old English word, Brother Mike. We use fixed, the word fixed in terms of something that is broken being repaired. But this old English word fixed as it's used here in this text, it doesn't necessarily have the indication something needs to be repaired, but it has the idea of fastening to something, stabilizing something. Something's a little wobbly, so it's got to be tightened up and grounded and firmed and anchored into something that is strong. Can I tell you tonight, you want to know the bliss even in the midst of bad news and battles? You're going to have to learn to lean upon the Lord to the point that though you're weak and though you can't make it and though fear is a temptation arise in your heart, yet your heart is anchored in the one who is the rock of ages, the one that you can build your life upon, in whom is no sinking sand, that will allow you to stand when everything around you is crumbling. Amen. Amen. That's the joy. That's the bliss. That's a heavenly reality of joy in our life in the midst of bad news and battles, is when I allow my heart, it ain't about the outside circumstances changing. Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly to you tonight. But a lot of Christian people, a lot of church people, you can gauge what kind of week they've had by looking on the outside. And what shows on here is a manifestation of something going on in here. If the heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, my friend, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside, you can still be anchored in joy. His heart is fixed. And then for maybe double emphasis, David will say again in verse number 8, his heart is established. His heart is established. Again, the idea is that of being grounded, of being made strong, of being strengthened. I want to say tonight, we can draw strength from the Lord in the battle. We can draw strength from the Lord in times where on every angle bad news is coming to us, and still say, I believe God, I'm going to trust God. And in doing so, we can maintain joy in our life. The leaning of the blessed. What are you leaning on tonight? Amen. We sing the song, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. You dare not trust. You would not dare trust your own, would you? Amen. But I'm glad we can lean in upon the everlasting arms. The Bible said of Jacob in his old age coming out of Egypt, and he was leaning upon his staff. Amen. That the Lord stayed him upon his staff. And it was something that though he was weak and though he was wore out, though he was old and maybe in a strange and barren land, there was something he had to lean upon. Can I say tonight, I'm glad I've got a staff in the Lord to lean upon that. And when I'm weak and wore out and the wandering way in which we're in begins to be long and dreary, tonight, listen, we can still raise our hand and worship the Lord if we learn how to lean upon God. Amen. I wouldn't give you your granny's used dip of snuff for somebody who could only shout when everything was going well in their life. Amen. We'll measure the strength of your Christianity when your world's falling apart. We'll measure it when you get bad news from the doctor. We'll measure it when you lose your job. We'll measure it when you got to go by way of the funeral hall. And when we can look and say, we know that their broken heart and we know what they're going through is not easy. But look how they're leaning on the Lord and the strength they're drawing from the Lord and the blessing they're drawing from the Lord. And when we see the joy of the Lord shine through in the midst of the worst of circumstances, then we'll know that you are a person of faith and we'll know that what you have is real. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Being fixed and established in heart. Because, not because we're super spiritual, but because we're trusting in the Lord. Number whatever, 8, I guess it is. Verse number 10, end of verse 9 and verse 10, and I'm done. Notice the lament over the blessed man. The lament over the blessed by God. The Bible said as David winds down, that there's going to be a transition between what he says in the end of verse number 9, between that and verse number 10, there is a point of emphasis that is going to be turned. But here's what he said just before turning to the wicked and the opposition. He said, of those that are blessed by God, his horn shall be exalted with honor. The horn here speaks of strength and power, influence. It is an acknowledgement or a reference or a picture to one's testimony. The life that they're living, the power of their testimony, the strength from which they draw to live the life that they're living, it is going, their life, their name, their testimony is going to be exalted. And it's going to be done so with honor. In other words, the longer the blessed by God just keep staying true to God, leaning on God, stay living the life that God is forming their life to live, that God is going to take them and he's going to put a name and a testimony in them that is going to be honorable. You think tonight about those that you know we're real Christians. They don't earn that name overnight. They've earned it over years of going through this and that and battles and burdens and, I mean, all kinds of things in their Christian life. Yet when you see them remain faithful, God takes them and elevates them and exalts them with honor upon their life. Amen. This is what we are desiring for God to do, not for our name's sake, but for the glory and the honor of our Savior. I want the Lord to take my life and use it and make it count, not so people can pat me on the back, Brother Mike, but so that the Lord can get glory and honor. So if you say anything good about me or I say anything good about you, it is really for the glory of the one who saved us. We all ought to have a desire to be conformed into the image of this blessed man. And here in the end of verse number 9, the blessed man experiences exaltation of the Lord. As we find bliss in our relationship with the Lord, he exalts our testimony and our influence. He'll exalt it. If we'll walk humbly with our God, mark it down, he'll be the one that will exalt us in due time. Amen. Now, look with me how this connects to verse number 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. What are they seeing? Well, in some regard, they're seeing the entirety of the life and the portrait in verses 1 through 9 that have been painted of this blessed by God man. It's blessed by God woman. As they see that, they are grieved. And may I say this evening, when it comes to the wicked, they are grieved at the way we live our life. Or may, everybody look here, the wicked ought to be grieved over the way we live our life. If you're getting along with the wicked, that is a poor, poor testimony on your part. Amen. Amen. Bible said, beware when all men shall speak evil of you. Amen. Or speak good of you. When evil men speak good of you, you better be careful about that. That means something's wrong in your life. Somebody ought to be mad at you every now and then. Amen. The wicked shall see it and be grieved when they see this life we're living. And you know, they blame us. Especially in America. I don't know how it is all over the rest of the world. I guess it's probably the same. Humanity's the same about everywhere. But we know in America, they blame us, old-fashioned, God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Bible-waving, sin-stomping Christians are looked at as holding them back from what they really want. Amen. Now the new buzzword and buzz title is, they call us Christian nationalists. Amen. I ain't no Christian nationalist. I'm a Christian and I'm an American. Amen. An American who happens to try to have the heart of a patriot. I love my country and I'm a Christian. You can call me whatever you want, but I'm not going along with all your LGBTQ alphabet soup. And I'm not going on with your bloodthirst to kill millions and millions of more babies in their mother's womb. And I'm not going along with all your drunkenness and rioting. And on we could go tonight. And they why? Because I know the bliss of being one that has been blessed by God. And as He conforms my life in the image of Christ, I am called not only to live a righteous life, but to make a stand for righteousness along the way. Amen. So the wicked are going to see that, they're going to be grieved. That word grieve, one of the ideas behind it is they're literally going to be indignant, and they're going to have anger stirred within them. And they're going to have that in general terms, just speaking of as you live your life, they're not going to tolerate the way you live for God. Ain't it amazing we've got to tolerate the Muslim who wants to strap bombs to them and blow us up? Can't say nothing about Islam. We got to be tolerant. And we can't say anything about the sodomites and the perverts and all their books of sexuality they want to teach to our children, because we just are being too old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy, and we've got to learn to be tolerant of those things they want to teach our children. Come on now. And we got to be tolerant about abortion and the murder of babies, and we got to be tolerant of all the people that break the laws and by the way, are illegals. Amen. You break the law, you're illegals. You're doing something illegal. Amen. And yet we got to be tolerant of that and just call them undocumented. I call them what you want. I love them, and they're here, and we're going to minister to them as we meet them. I ain't getting in politics. I'm just telling you, there's an idea we got to tolerate everything that's wrong. But you let somebody stand up and say something about what's right. Oh, you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't stand there. You can't believe that way. I want to go, well, where's the tolerance now? We got to tolerate everything else. Why? Can I say that's just a part of who the wicked are? The wicked are always going to be grieved over those who want to live for God and be truly like Jesus. They're always going to be upset about it. In specificity, how y'all like that word? Amen. What are they truly seeing? They're watching how the Lord takes the life they've been living and begins to exalt them. And when the Lord exalts him with honor, that's what, when the Bible said the wicked shall see it, that is, Brother Dalton, what they are watching and getting a front row seat to that gets him so ticked off. this is illustrated. I got to hurry. I could illustrate this in the life of Daniel. Daniel had been promoted in the kingdom, and he had been promoted and exalted to the degree that all the other princes get together and they try to form the law. You remember the law? Nobody can pray to any other god except for the God of the king. And they pass that law, and you know the story. What was all that design? How was all that stirred up? The wicked watch one of God's children say to Babylon, I'm not living like you. I'm not dressing like you. I'm not eating like you. I'm not drinking like you. I'm not going to look like you, talk like you, or worship like you. God reached down and blessed and exalted that child of God. Daniel had bliss, amen, being blessed by God in a wicked place called Babylon. When that crowd watched the Lord exalt him, they got mad in their heart. Said, we'll stop him however we can. That's what David said, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. And be grieved. They're not going to get along with us. So you might as well, amen, you might as well buckle down. The wicked man will never be happy with what he sees in the life of the righteous, nor with what he lives for. The wicked tonight, they feel sorry for us in some degree. They're mad about how we live. But then on one hand, they Brother Larry, are like them poor old-fashioned Christians. They can't do this and they can't do that. Everybody look up here. I'm doing everything I want to do. Y'all need to let that sink in. I'm doing everything I want to do. I get to do everything I want to do. I want to live for God. I want to pray. I want to be faithful to the house of God. I want to read my Bible. I want to live separated from the world in every way I can find. Amen. I'm doing everything I want to do. Amen. You say, oh boy, I get to go do anything I want to do. That's the problem.
Amen.
I'm getting it. Don't feel sorry for me. They go, that poor old preacher, he got to go down there and preach with old allergies and sound like a dying calf in a hell storm to them people, and they're down there listening and smiling and acting like they like it, and they feel sorry for us because we're in church. I want to say to them, don't feel sorry for us. I've got joy you don't know nothing about. Amen. There's bliss on the inside. Amen. This running over tonight. Amen. The wicked will see it and be grieved. Notice, they may feel sorry for us now. Let's see if y'all see this. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. Y'all see that? That sounds a little bit like some things Jesus taught in the Word of God, amen, in his earthly ministry about people who wind up going to hell, don't it? Gnashing away, the idea of gnashing teeth and melting away has the idea behind it, Brother Bob, that there's a fire going on. Gnashing of teeth. Did Jesus not say the wicked, if they die in their state away from the gospel, die in their sin apart from the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that when they die, they'll go to that place called hell in which is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire's not quenched. And I tell you, and I'm done, and I tell you this tonight, this world don't realize that what they are mad about tonight, grieved about tonight, what they're upset about tonight, and all the pity they may direct our way because we're stuck in some old-fashioned way of living, one of these days they'll gladly, if they could, change places with us. When he said their desire, the desire of the wicked shall perish, everything they live for, when it's all said and done, they'll realize meant absolutely nothing. The idea here, I think, is as David ends, and I'm ending too. Somebody say amen. When David deals with this in verse number 10, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. I think, Brother Mike, I think I'm right about this. There is the implication in that statement. He's not just telling you what's going to happen to the wicked. The implication is, child of God, what you are living for is going to abide. What they're living for is going to perish. But what you're living for, if you're being conformed to the image of Christ, living out your faith, being loyal to the Lord, loving the Lord and His Word, and all these things that go into being the blessed man, that when all is said and done, what you've lived for is going to abide, and it's going to abide forever. You see, there's more to live for. Church, you need to hear this. There's more to live for than just right now. We're going into eternity real soon. Amen. You can live to fit in this ungodly world, or you can rise to be the distinguished, blessed man and blessed woman and know the bliss. There's joy in it. I know you may have met some old sour faces. Amen. Hey, some Christians, hey, some preachers. And Brother Dalton, they look like they drink Ex-Lac milkshakes and chew on glass all day. Amen. You think about that. They're so tore up all the time, mad and bitter and mean about everything. I ain't interested in living that Christian life. Amen. I ain't interested, to be honest with you, the older I get, I'm not interested in even being around people like that. Amen. Amen. I want to be around those that have bliss. Amen. Not fake, not phony, not worked up, not a show. When you get around them, amen. I brag on Sister Marcia when you get around them and the tears are coming off their cheek because their heart's broke, but there's still that joy coming up out of the inside saying, the Lord's got it. The Lord's got me. The Lord's going to take care of it. The Lord's promises are true. I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of people I want to be around. Amen. Oh, the bliss of being blessed by God.